Hello, everyone. Welcome to our second episode today of the Pepper Podcast. I have my good friend here, Myron from Unplug Fitness. How are you doing today, my friend?
Hey, how you doing, brother? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Just, been doing some stuff around the house, you know, kind of keep myself motivated, keep doing things. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm chilling, man. You know, obviously this Corona thing sucks, but you know, we're doing what we got to do, right?
Right, man. I can't believe already past the halfway point of this year, and I keep getting surprised more and more. Like, man, how much more can we take of this year, man?
And the thing is, man, is they're getting more strict. I just literally came from the gym, and they were actually enforcing it. Like, if you're not doing cardio, you got to put the mask on. And I was like, holy crap. Like, last week in the past 2 weeks when they opened LA Fitness, didn't care, but now they're starting to like take it serious because the cases in Florida have been like skyrocketing, because Northern Florida pretty much opened up in late May, like Tampa, Sarasota, that whole area, West Palm Beach. It was only really Miami-Dade County that was still on lockdown, and you know, we just literally opened up a tiny bit, and now they're talking about like shutting things down again. So yeah, it sucks, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually kind of surprised, like, because you went to a different gym, right?
Yeah, so I train at the LA Fitness in Brickell, which in Miami, for anybody that's familiar with Miami, there's a couple of different neighborhoods, and Brickell is kind of like the Manhattan of Miami.
Right,
and, quite frankly, I don't recommend that gym. It sucks. No one puts their weights back, and it's very annoying, which apparently is a South Florida thing.
Really? But,
yeah, I didn't, because when you go to LA Fitness, I'm originally from Connecticut. You go to LA Fitness in like Connecticut, you know, New York, you know, outside of the city, of course. People put the weights back, man. And LA Fitnesses are a higher end gym. They got pools. They're very clean. But here in Miami, it's not like that, man. It's fucking terrible. So
that's messed up, man. I mean, like I used to go to a Planet Fitness up in down here in West Kendall, and you know, I just hated going to the gym because I just, like, you know, you go to the gym, like maybe you're with a gym bro to just be like, okay, I'm going to go do my things. I rest, you do your thing. But then when you got like people coming with quads and they're just all standing around with weights and you're just like, hey man, can I borrow that? Like, oh, sorry, man. I'm still in my set. Dude, you've been telling me that for like the last 20 minutes. Do your goddamn set already. I want to do my thing and go.
Guy, I mean, a lot of people in general, man, are in the gym to, you know, take pictures, do video and all sort of stuff. And it's like, especially the, I mean, let's keep it real. Who's doing the majority of it? The fucking females. So, you know, it is what it is, you know, because at the end of the day, and I get it, because like female fitness influencers get like, and there's actually a study done on this too. 50% of Instagram users are women, and women get 5 times as many likes as men on posts. So it's a no-brainer that advertisers target female pages to advertise their crap on. And on top of that, everybody knows that females are 80% of the consumer base. And even within the confines of a relationship, women are responsible for about 80 to 90% of the household spending. So advertisers almost always target women in their ads, you know, which
right.
We live in a very femme-centric society. And for anybody that wants to argue with me, like, oh, that's not true. Okay, look at the Gillette commercial from January of last year where they made men look like buffoons and idiots. And
I remember.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And toxic masculinity and all that other crap. And they literally ostracized their consumer base because they understand that women are the ones that buy Gillette razors. So if they went on that ad, oh, let's appeal to the females. Let's call men idiots, because it's always been cool to you know, display men as bumbling idiots, incompetent, and the woman be the rescuer and the smart one, etc. You know, you look at like what's that show from the 90s, that sitcom, Marriage, Love and Marriage, Al Bundy,
Marriage with Kids or something.
You know, like a bunch of TV shows like show men
about
as, like
Fred
idiots.
Flintstone. Like that's what I was thinking about. I was thinking from like the Flintstones.
And it's always been that way. And you know, marketers understand that women are the consumer base, and even in a product that is designed for men, they're still ostracizing their community. And here's the thing. Gillette took an L with that. They lost a lot of money from that ad. You know, a lot of people stopped buying Gillette, to include myself, because, you know, I hate guys. I hate people that, like, are on this super leftist woke propaganda to try to, you know, because right now, and people are fighting back, you know, this go woke movement, pretty much they say go woke, go broke, because a lot of these, you know, Hollywood, these advertisers, et cetera, they're trying to kind of, how do I say this, feeding into the female imperative. Gillette made a monumental fuck up last year where they basically made an ad talking about toxic masculinity, making men look like bumbling idiots, buffoons. Everyone is a misogynist, a rapist of some kind. And, you know, they had Terry Crews talking, you know, who's Terry Crews, a whole nother, I don't even want to get into him, but, you know, this whole woke agenda, you know what I'm saying? This super left wing woke agenda. And the problem is that we're basically we're quickly going into a world which is already happening, you know, believe all women, you know, all men are rapists, all men are misogynists, and it's basically demonizing men. And advertisers do this because they know that they're going to be able, who spends the money? Well, in households, women typically spend 90% of the household income, even if they're married. And women are the predominant consumers. Everybody knows this. So advertisers know this. And, you know, if they appeal to the female imperative, they're going to make more money. So that's just how it is. Because guys typically, I mean, look, you look at us. If you walk into a single guy's house versus walking into a single woman's house, there's a drastic difference in furniture, things in the home, pictures.
We've all seen the meme about the guy with the single armchair and the TV, and yeah. Girls would complain, be like, single guys think that this is fine. Like, well, yeah, because that's all we need. We don't need we don't need that live life crap on our walls. Yeah. Like, we just need what we need.
Yeah, it's been most like guys that
since the cavemen. Yeah, we just need a cave, warm fire, and shelter.
Yeah. And men, a lot of men are very low maintenance. Obviously, you got some diva dudes out there, but for the most part, most men are very low maintenance. And men, you know, are much more, how do I say it? They're much less agreeable, right? So, and typically, and this is another thing too, where they talk about the wage gap. And one of the big reasons why women, they say, oh, women make less money than men. And that's false, because that claim comes from the notion that you're comparing all working women to all working men. However, you're not accounting for hours. You're not accounting for job worked. You're not accounting for experience level. You're not accounting for degrees, etc. And when you account for all these different factors, the wage gap almost disappears. As a matter of fact, women out-earn men in a lot of the major cities in the United States, because more women attend college now than men do. And the other thing too is that when women do earn less than men, typically it's because women don't work dangerous jobs like men do, you know, offshore drilling, oil drilling, etc., law enforcement, these types of jobs, you know, women tend to work more. The top 10 least paying jobs, 9 of those are dominated by women, right? Versus the top 10 highest paying jobs are dominated by men. And on top of that, you know, women tend to work less hours. They're more prone to take vacation, and they're more prone to take paternity leave. This isn't to say women are less than men. It's just, and they're more agreeable. So they're not going to fight for raises as hard as men do. You know what I mean? And they're not going to work as many hours because, let's face it, the burden of performance to earn income is typically on men. You know what I mean? And it's always been that way. So men have a larger incentive to earn money, because as a man, you are defined by how much money you make, your career, etc. When two men meet and they shake hands, the first question after is, what do? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's just pretty much, that's the first thing. That's how men communicate. So this isn't to say, oh, women deserve to get paid less than men or any of that. What I am saying is that the stats are off and they're not accounting for everything. And on top of that, I would argue that women out-earn men in a lot of the major cities, and times have changed because more women attend college, more women are getting degrees. And by virtue of that, they're out-earning a lot of men. And this shows also in the dating market, because if you look at women that are successful, that are earning, you know, 100 grand plus a year, these a crazy amount of these women are single. And well, why is that? Well, because women don't date down. We all know this, that since the beginning of time, women have dated up. So there are more single women now than ever before, and that number is going to increase as time progresses. Obviously, we got the and there's a bunch of reasons for this. Feminism, the hookup culture, dating apps, social media, they've pretty much, all these things have contributed to the decline of the marriage. But in general, you know, that's just what's going on. And the advertisers know this, and they appeal to the women. And this is why guys are kind of getting left out in the dark when it comes to that type of thing.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting take, because I find that, you know, you brought up like the dating game and like the hypergamy thing. You brought that up about like, we always date up. I just find that interesting, because there's a dating app like with Bumble, like it's meant for girls to initiate the conversation for guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, so, and oh, no, go ahead. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. No, please.
No, all I was going to say was I think Bumble was pretty much made by feminists. If I'm not mistaken, I think the owners or the creators were feminists. And they basically wanted to give women, you know, the ability to be able to, you know, initiate the conversation. And, you know, I get it. It's a good business model. But, I mean, let's face it. You know, women don't really like to initiate conversation with men. You know, it causes a lot of women anxiety, as a matter of fact. Because, you know, we live in Miami. Let's keep it real. The hottest girls don't approach guys, and they don't initiate conversation with men. They don't need to.
It's to be expected for the guys to start the conversation.
Absolutely. And Miami is fairly traditional. You know what I mean? We have a very strong Latin community here, and the women are attractive. I always say Miami has the highest, by far the highest concentration of attractive women in one geographic area. And they know it. You know, it's very rare for a beautiful woman to approach a guy. So for that to be done on a dating app, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've matched with a girl and she just doesn't message me because whether they forget, they don't open their app, or, you know, they're shy, whatever. You know, I always laugh when guys say, you know, because a lot of guys won't approach women because they're scared of rejection. I always tell them, listen, women are 10 times more scared than you are of rejection, because whether people want to accept the reality or not, women are defined by the way they look. And, you know, for any naysayers that don't believe me, look at the makeup industry, look at the cosmetic industry. Those are the same. Those are the industries pretty much that don't lose money. I mean, besides this COVID bullshit, if the nail salons and the makeup booths, salon, you know, like MAC and all this other stuff, if they were open during COVID, I guarantee you they wouldn't have lost money. The only reason they lost money was because they had to close. But had they stayed open, they would have probably not lost that much money. And that goes to show how important looks are to women. You know what I mean? They just are. And women know this inherently, that their looks mean a lot to them. So I say that to build the foundation for this. If a woman is rejected, it's going to crush her. So she's not going to approach. That's why you need to be the man, and you need to approach, and you need to not be a pussy, for lack of a better term. Especially the most attractive women.
Yeah.
So Bumble sounds good on paper, but it's not a good long-term strategy.
No, and honestly though, man, like, I just never find, like, these dating apps, like, I don't look into, like, Tinder or Bumble or Match or anything like that as, like, my one stop, I'm gonna find my true love situation. I mean, I'm not really even looking in the first place, but it is just kind of like the idea that's like, you know, you're going on these apps for hookups, you're going for these apps for fun. You're not, you know, I don't think a lot of people are really, they might fool themselves into thinking that, like, oh, I'm gonna find my love or this, or God forbid you find people get, like, really depressed because they don't get matched on Tinder. And I'm just telling them, it's like, well, it's Tinder. You're looking at someone's profile picture and making a swipe gesture left or right to determine if you're gonna even meet.
Yeah, so so me and my buddy John from Modern Life Dating, we actually released a dating course called Pandemic Pickup, and we taught guys how to use online dating and how to get in shape. It was a fitness and online dating course, and the biggest thing, we ended up getting 300 plus signups, and we ended up doing Zoom calls, coaching sessions with these guys. The thing is, man, is the reason why so many guys fail on dating apps is because their pictures suck.
That's true.
And what I mean by that is that the guys aren't ugly. The guys just aren't attractive. And I made a YouTube video about this as well. Speaking of which, my YouTube, it's Unplugged Fitness. For any guys out there, I give out fitness and dating advice. There's a show.
Yeah, we'll put stuff in the description. Don't worry. And then by the end, you can start telling everyone your socials and how we could reach you.
Yeah, the shameless plug right there. But no, long story short,
that's the point, man.
But the long story short, guy, is that, and there was a study done on this too, where women found about 80%+ of the men as less than average looking on dating apps. And it's not because just the physical, like, oh, this guy's ugly. A big part of it is guys take very crappy pictures.
Yeah, I'm the worst.
You know, mirror selfies, shirtless photos when they're not in shape. They take pictures with their friends that are taller than them. They take awkward selfies. Like, these are all telltale signs that you're probably a lower value male. But if you take, you don't have to be the best looking guy, but if you take pictures doing cool shit, you're going to get a lot of love. And I got a couple buddies that have, like, really good Instagrams that they basically have pictures that convey themselves in a very high social status type atmosphere, whether they're on boats, they're with other beautiful women, and they're not the best looking guys, but they kill it. And the reason why, guys, is that women don't look at attraction the same way that we do. Men tend to look at attraction from first a physical, and then everything else comes after that. Women, however, use a whole matrix of attraction triggers to assess your attractiveness as a male. And what I mean by that is that, like, yes, looks do matter, but looks only get you through the door. Okay. You need to hit an attraction floor. And the thing is, contrary to what guys think, it's not that hard to hit like a female's attraction floor. You know, if you get in shape, you clean your teeth, you keep yourself groomed, you're not a fat piece of shit, you're going to be attractive to a large amount of women just by taking care of yourself and dressing well and not being a slob. Because let's face it, most guys are slobs. So if you just do that and take good pictures, you're already ahead of the game. So, and then the other thing, one of the beauties of being a man, you know, and I know there's a lot of like, you know, angry black pill guys that say, it's all looks. And the benefit that we have as men guys.
We'll get into those guys later. I have a whole topic about that. True, man. You have to put your best foot forward. Like if you don't clean yourself up and you just like sit around all day and whine that you're not going to get anybody, well, look at yourself first, man. Like, who the hell wants you? You don't brush yourself. You don't clean yourself. You don't bathe. You don't, you know, fix up your hair or nothing. You just go out thinking that you're hot shit. And then turns out people don't want hot garbage.
Yeah. And the thing I think, you know, and the thing is that like, you got to hit that attraction, like the bottom. And then once you get there, then you can convey higher value through your social circle, your income, your confidence, the way you display your dress, your social calibration, all these things matter. This is how I see a bunch of ugly dudes in Miami with hot girls, because they have these other traits that they're redeeming themselves by not being the most attractive guy. And here's the thing for all the guys out there that, you know, hate women and complain about the dating market and all this other stuff. Guys, women have always been like this. Women have always been selective on who they mate with, who they have sex with, who they hang out with, who they date, etc. It's never changed. The only difference is that it's out there in the open and it's encouraged. That's why so many guys are getting angry, because you go on like Dr. Phil or The View or anything like that. It encourages women to date up, and it were versus before, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't as out there. You know what I mean? A lot of guys complain about it, and it's like, guys, since the beginning of time, women have aligned themselves with the highest value men, and it's not anything personal. It's a survival tactic. What people don't understand, you go back, you know, it's only been the past 100 years or so that women have been able to exist without the, you know, the provisioning and security of a male. You go back 1,000 years ago, you know, when there were saber-toothed tigers running around and shit, if a woman didn't have a man around her, she'd get fucked up by the saber-toothed tiger. So what did she do? She aligned herself with the highest value guy that could protect and provision for her with excess resources. And if she had to share that guy with other women, she would, because it would ensure her survival and, more importantly, her children's survival. This is why women gravitate towards high-value guys. It's a survival mechanism, not just for themselves, but for their children. And it's hardwired in women. Even now, today, with feminism, where women, you know, are out-earning men in a lot of the major cities, women are still hardwired to look for a male who's superior to them. And it's always been that way. You go back freaking when Genghis Khan was running around killing everybody and pillaging, you know, once the men were conquered and killed, and Genghis Khan killed the male boys, the women were left. And what happened? The women had sex with Genghis Khan and his guys because it was a survival tactic, because they had to learn how to acclimate to the new situation. So guys say, oh, women aren't loyal or women are hypergamous, whatever. They've always been that way, you know, and they're naturally that way. It's literally natural selection, man. The women select the best guys because they're hardwired to do it. Just like guys are designed to look at like girls and like girls that with like long hair, beautiful face, slim waist, nice ass, a perky breast, whatever it may be. That's how women look at men. So like for you to get mad at a girl for wanting to date up is like her being mad at you for liking hot young girls. Like it's just the way we're bred, you know?
It's a two-way street. Like, you can't just be like, man, these girls need to lower their standards, but I need to get the highest of standards. Like, well, dude.
Exactly.
You can't have both ways.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to get good, you know, if you want to get a good-looking girl, get good-looking. Like, go to the gym. Take better care of yourself. Like that's the kind of, like, frustration that irks me. So let's go ahead and, like, deviate the other gender real quick. Let's go ahead and talk about our fellow man. So you brought up the fact about these black pill and incels. And, like, for me, man, I don't know about you, but I am fascinated reading about incels and, like, hearing their ridiculous statements and, like, these 4D chess ways of the explanation of how life has rolled the dice on them and the genetic lottery fucked them over because they don't have X jaw, this thing. And to me... Yeah, you could be mad about those kinds of things. Fine. Well, whatever. But at the end of the day, those are things you can't technically control unless you have a boatload of money to spend on plastic surgery. And to that extent, like, okay, fine. You don't have X jaw. Maybe you're not this tall. I'm 5'6". So I'm basically the superior male in this situation. So I don't care if my fellow brother is 6 feet tall and like, oh, but the technicality is, who cares, man? Just be happy that you are you and just make the best of you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no.
And
go ahead. Sorry.
And I just find like this like incel mentality is that like, well, listen to what you're thinking and think about what you're saying and think, why do you think people are not attracted to you? Maybe it isn't your looks. Maybe it's your perspective of things that kind of colored the situation in such a negative light that makes it a kind of a nihilistic attempt of ever finding any form of companionship.
Yeah. So, and this comes from the, you know, what I call like the traditional conservative, AKA TradCon, line of thinking, where, you know, every guy thinks that he's entitled to a wife. And because here's the thing, monogamy has always been around to keep society civil, right? Polygamy, and there's studies to show this, polygamy typically leads to unruly societies where, you know, there's war and fighting and everything like that. Because at the end of the day, when men don't get sexual access, there is problems. You know what I mean? Like, men are literally designed to spread their seed far and wide. And if they can't do it, that is what leads to wars and fights to be able to reproduce, because we're all put on this planet to reproduce. So, you know, monogamy was a great way for all men to be able to get sexual access to one woman and to create the family unit. And we all know that the family unit is instrumental in raising children in a stable environment where they can be productive members of society. And that's how it's always been. However, what's come in has feminism has come in. And women no longer need the provisioning and the security of a male. They can get that themselves, you know, and they are getting it themselves, as shown by the studies and how there's way more women in college nowadays. I think it's almost 70-30 at this point. When I last time I looked, it was around 70-30, but it was like, when I last looked, it was like 65-35. So times are changing, and more women are getting advanced degrees, and more women are outearning men. So what's left? Well, if the provisioning is taken care of, what are they looking for? They're looking for more attractive guys, and also guys that are, you know, also that can out earn them, which, let's face it, you know, a lot of girls are looking for guys that are over 6'2", make a certain amount of money or whatever. And, this is about, you know, less than 3% of the population, you know, when you actually do the numbers. So,
yeah.
So a lot of girls, you know, are pretty much kind of left out in the dry where they can't find a husband. And this is why we have so many single women, but that's a whole nother topic. But the point is that a lot of these guys are angry because the marketplace has changed, and the days of making $30,000 a year, driving your Kia Sophia, and having a great insurance policy is no longer enough. You have to really be a high value guy to get the sex life that most guys want, which is being able to date multiple women at once, you know, being in possibly open relationships, running some polygamy, whatever it may be, because this is what every guy wants. And any guy that's going to sit here and say, oh, I don't want to date multiple girls, I just want one, you're a fucking liar. There's a reason why pornography, okay, is the top like three sites are pornography. And who watches pornography? Men do. Well, why is that? Well, because men, the male sexual strategy is unlimited sexuality to unlimited women. You know, shout out to Rollo Tomasi. Right. He always says that. So, and I suggest everyone read The Rational Male. Excellent book. But, and the woman's sexual strategy is to consolidate on the highest value male that she can attract. That's why women take their looks very seriously, because women understand the better they look, the better chance they're going to have of securing a high value male. You look at IG models, OnlyFans girls, whatever, they date high value guys because they can and they're attractive enough to get them. Okay. So, but on the male side, guys want unlimited sexuality. It's just that most guys can't execute it because they're not high value enough, because we know women are selective. So now with feminism and the way how women are out earning men, a lot of guys are getting left out in the dust. And a lot of the guys are, what are they doing? They're playing video games. They're watching porn. They're not self-improving, et cetera, et cetera. And this is why so many guys are left out. And as a matter of fact, the study came out in 2019. It was conducted in 2018, but it was conducted 2018. The Washington Post, they basically found that about a quarter of young Americans report being celibate. Guess who the staggering majority of those people reporting celibacy were? They were young men in their 20s. Well, these are the same guys that are watching porn and masturbating and having erectile dysfunction at 21. So it's not that, you know, there's a couple issues. One, women have become more selective. Yes, right? Because now they can provide for themselves. So the standard has gone up, right? The marriage institution has pretty much been almost dismantled. And then on top of that, guys are pretty much, more and more guys are leaving the sexual marketplace, you know, because they're getting angry, complaining that women are too selective, blah, blah, blah. And what are they doing? They're resorting to pornography. They're resorting to video games. They're resorting to masturbation, et cetera. So there's a couple of reasons here. But like, for a guy to sit there and say, oh, the marketplace is fucked, it's rigged, I can't do anything. Like, that's a defeatist mentality, and that's why you're in the position that you're in. Because when you display low value behavior, women can smell it, man. They can feel it.
Sense it, yeah.
They sense it right away.
Not women, just people in general, man.
People in general.
That kind of, yeah, that nihilism is just toxic. It's just not welcoming.
And women,
how are you doing?
And women feel it even more, because here's the thing that guys don't understand. Women are super socially calibrated, because women are the weaker sex. So they have other senses that are heightened that men don't have. So women are able to read a social situation much faster than a man is. You know what I mean? Like me, I'm just starting to get really good at this. Dude, you take a 15-year-old girl, she's probably going to, you know, she's probably going to run some laps around me on, like, as far as like social awareness, seeing things, whatever.
Oh, mind
Whereas
games.
It took me, yeah, like, you know, it took me years to figure this out. Like, I go to a bar, I could tell if a guy's friend zone, I could tell if the girl doesn't like him, or she, or, you know, or she, he's gay or whatever it may be, just from the social dynamics. It took me years to acquire this. Whereas you take a 15-year-old that's never been to a bar before, you let her look at it, she's probably going to know right away. Why is that? Well, because women are super socially calibrated, because since they've hit puberty, they've been getting hit on by men. So they had to learn very quickly how to decipher low-value males from high-value males. And they've been getting this practice their entire life, because men come and approach them, so they're getting plenty of practice. However, on the male side, guys are getting that practice because they have to go out and actually learn this shit. And a lot of guys don't want to do the work and learn it. You know, a lot of guys have approach anxiety. They're scared to talk to girls. They start stuttering, whatever. And for them to complain and say, oh, girls are terrible, whatever. It's like, dude, you're not even doing the work. You're not even approaching girls. You're not even improving yourself, et cetera.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Well, that's the key word, that you could improve yourself. It's not like, okay, I'm nervous. Like, yeah, everyone gets nervous, but you could get better at it.
And they complain.
It's not a thing you're going to naturally get at times. It's something you have to just
learn skill.
Try
as a man,
it's
a learned skill. It's 100% a learned skill as a man. You know what I mean? Because men are just not socially as apt. And here's the thing. They're giving up before even playing. They're basically saying, oh, the game's rigged, I'm not going to play. And you know, they'll sit there and say, oh, well, it's not worth it or whatever. That's fine. If you want to exit the marketplace, that's completely fine. But don't sit there and complain that the marketplace is rigged when you're not even trying and you're not maxing out. Because here's the thing. A lot of these guys that complain, oh, I can't get girls, black pill, like all this shit, women are terrible and they're all angry misogynists. They haven't even worked out. They haven't like improved their lives from the fitness standpoint, their money. They're just like complaining instead of finding solutions. And here's the other thing why I always say self-improvement is critical. The reason why self-improvement is critical, it's not to get women. It's so that you can improve for yourself.
That's what I was about to say. If you're going to the gym to get, you are going for the wrong fucking reason. When I was going to the gym before this whole pandemic, getting laid was the last thing I was thinking about. I was thinking about my health, my stamina, my mental health. I was thinking about all of that. Getting pussy was so back in my mind that I didn't even care.
Yeah. No, I mean, and here's the thing. I always say it, if you're going to the gym solely to try to get laid and get girls, you're never going to see it through. Because when you're in the gym at 5 a.m. doing fucking squats and you're about to puke, wanting to get laid is not strong enough of a motivator for you to do it. You got to do it for yourself. And I always tell guys, you don't get in the gym and get in good shape or make money to impress girls. You do it for yourself. And if you choose so, the women are a byproduct. You do it for yourself, right? And then that, you know, the fruits of your spoils are women if you choose to go down that road. Because let's face it, I mean, I'll keep it real. There's basically a direct connection. Anytime I'm doing really good with girls, my performance and everything else starts to suffer, because going out and dating, sourcing girls, it's extremely time
consuming.
Time consuming. It's a time sink, man. You know, dating girls and building rapport and getting them to like you and all this other crap. Women don't think like men do. They need a lot of mental stimulation to get turned on. I always say women get turned on through the ears, men get turned on through the eyes. This is why fucking men lie and women wear makeup. So, you know, and that's just the way it is. So if you're going to be good with, I don't know anybody that's good with women that has like multiple girls they're dating that isn't spending a lot of time sourcing girls, dealing with girls, texting girls, etc. So it does hurt you from a productivity standpoint if you're going to be super good with women. But, you know, if you want to always have that option where you can turn it on or turn it off because you're doing well and it's always for you. And then a byproduct of that is women. I think a lot of guys do things for the wrong reasons. I'm going to go to the gym for women. I'm going to make money for women. And that is a terrible way to go about it. It's not strong enough of a motivation to see it through, man.
Nope. And if it is your main motivation, my friend, you're going for the wrong motivation, because
and you're
going
to take an L.
Could easily tumble. Because, like, okay, let's say you made a lot of money. Okay, cool. You married the girl of your dreams. Oh, she divorced you. Now you're broke again. Okay, well, now you married this girl. Now you get fat. Now you gain a bunch of weight. Now she leaves you again. Now you're fat, broke, and sitting around with nothing to sit on. You know what I'm saying?
No, go ahead.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's a good point that, like, guys need to, like, realize that, like, hey, like, to, like, you need to figure out that you need to better yourself more than anything. Think about yourself. I know that it's like a super what's the term I'm looking for? The philosophy of Ayn Rand philosophy. Basically, it's just like you're self-important first more than anything else. And the thing is, though, there's some truth to that because you need to value yourself as a human being. You know, that's why I get like really mad when guys think that like the only way they can improve themselves is to get a girl. And to me, that's like the worst thing you could do. Because you're just going to match shit with other shit.
Yeah, if you define your value on the women that you can attract, you're going to take a big L in life. Because here's the problem. I know guys that are great with women, right? You know, to include, I think I'm decent myself. If I were to base my value on female validation, I would take an L. Because here's the problem. Girls are flaky. Girls are fickle. Girls change their mind every 2 minutes. You can meet a girl that's into you at the bar. Man, I've had girls literally hit me up on dating apps. They hit me up saying, hey, what's your number? I want to get to know you, whatever. I talk to them. They're like, all right, cool. I set the date. And then they fucking hit me up and they flake. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and after they had agreed to it. And why is that? Well, it doesn't matter why is it. But I'll explain a little bit because I know a lot of guys get angry when women flake. You guys got to understand that the average girl nowadays has 100 plus dudes in her social media and her dating apps. You know, they are spoiled for fucking choice. If you guys have any female friends, ask to see their dating app, ask to see their IG DMs. A girl that's average looking is going to have more options than the top best looking guys, okay? That's just the reality of the marketplace that we're in now. And I've dated girls that have dealt with and dated celebrities. And, you know, it's just, this is why you have to be a high value guy nowadays because you're literally competing. The Instagram and social media and everything like that, it's made the world smaller and it's made the sexual marketplace globalized. So what I mean by that is that you can't take it personal when girls flake on you. And I actually talked about this on my podcast yesterday with Donovan Sharp. Shout out to him. Where I met a girl last year, really hot. Like she was like a 9, man. But blonde hair, blue eyes, just my type. Like 5'9", bombshell, man. And we had agreed to go on a date. And we followed each other on Instagram. And, you know, the day the date comes, she's being flaky in her responses, whatever. I'm like, all right, I'm going to take the charge. This is the game. It is what it is. So I looked at her story just to be curious if, you know, because girls always post shit on their story to try to, you know, get clout or whatever. And lo and behold, she's putting up pictures of herself DMing with Lil Wayne and wow. Talking about, you know, meeting up later. So this is the reality of who you're competing with and who you're dealing with. Okay. So you can't take it personal when girls flake right. Because they just have way more options than us. So you cannot define yourself by female validation because you 1 week you might kill it where you might meet 5-10 girls, you might get 100 numbers, and then 1 week you might go dry and you strike out on every single girl you talk to because women inherently are just they're slaves to their emotions. When it comes to romance and dealing with men the opposite gender, they are slaves to their emotions. How do you make them feel? Okay. And guess what? We all know feelings are fleeting. So you can never depend on female validation to make you feel better because you're going to take an L every single time. And this is when you're going to become addicted to females. You're going to become addicted to sex. And this is when you're going to start having issues with productivity. Because like I've always said, I don't know any guy that's super good with women that doesn't take a hit, whether it's financially, their business, productivity, whatever it may be. When they're really killing it with the ladies because it is a time sink.
Yeah, it's a commitment. Like that, I think that's just my thing, man. Like people, ever since like I was in school, I just never cared. I never had like the time. I never wanted to dedicate it to it. I got so much things in the back burner right now. The last thing I want is someone else in this slow ass train ride of my life right now where I'm thinking in the back of my mind is like, you know what? Let me go ahead and get a second party into this and add more weight into my labor. It's like, I'm just not like that. I feel like if I can't get anything done, if I'm stuck with one person, you know what I'm saying? Or committed into trying to be in a relationship with just one person. I've always been upfront with everyone as far as like relationship goes. Like, look, we're friends. We could be friends with benefits, but that's it. I don't want to commit to you. I don't care if you date. I don't care if you want to go with someone else. It doesn't really affect me because that's not what I'm looking in that kind of stuff. And I've always been upfront with everyone about that kind of relationship. You know what I'm saying? I just, you know, I don't set myself up for failure at that point. Like, oh, you flaked on me, okay, cool, whatever. I was expecting a quick fuck then go. I wasn't expecting like a long committed relationship out of the situation.
Yeah, and I think a lot of guys internalize flaking and they take it personal, send the girl an angry message or whatever the hell it may be. Dude, just leave these girls on scene, you know, just leave these girls on scene or don't respond or just like what I do is personally is I know one guy that blocks them. That's not a terrible strategy. I personally just I just delete that text thread so I don't message her again. And it is what it is, man. And you got to understand, you can't get mad. Like, you know, these girls have more options than you. They're going to exercise those options at times. And the only thing you could do is just move on. This is why I always tell guys, you need to work high volume. You need to be talking to a lot of girls at once if you truly want to be successful at this. Because
get those numbers up, boy. Get those numbers up.
Yeah, man. Because a lot of girls are attention whores. A lot of girls are time wasters. A lot of girls will sit there and text you all day and just get that free validation. And then when you try to go for the meetup, they're gonna flake on you or whatever it may be. This is why I always tell guys, when you text a girl, it should be only for logistics. You don't sit there and try to build attraction through text message. You know what I mean? I know a guy that does that. You know, I got one of my buddies, a dating coach, Alex from Playing With Fire. Shout out to him. He lives here in Miami as well. He's an excellent coach. But me and him disagree on some things. And one of the things I disagree with him on is building attraction through text because, quite frankly, more can go wrong than can go well. And time spent on texting these chicks can be better used sourcing other women, whether it's through day game, night game, you know, matching with other girls and stuff like that. Because my thing is, you know, women love attention. So, okay. So a lot of guys don't understand this. The biggest difference between a fucking simp and a pimp is this. Simps don't understand that attention is female currency and they give it away for free, while pimps understand that attention is the ultimate currency for women and make women earn it, typically by getting their sexual attention. So it's a battle between two genders to get the commodity from the other without giving up theirs. Unfortunately, women are killing us right now, because how many simps are out there giving these women free attention that aren't banging these chicks? A million, right? Whereas like how many guys are actually like using girls and getting sex without giving them a lot of attention? Very few, you know what I mean? Very small percentage of guys are actually able to accomplish that. So that's where a lot of guys fuck up, is they sit there and they'll text the girl all day thinking they're building attraction when in reality she's losing respect for you. Because alpha males, guys that have high value, don't sit there and text girls all day, you know, a bunch of bullshit. You talk about that stuff when you meet her in person on the date. You don't give her free validation and free attention, because that's what these girls will sit there and talk to you all day, because it reaffirms their ego. Women need to get validation from men to justify their value. That's just the reality. And for all the clowns out here that might hate on me for saying that, look at, like I said before, look at the makeup industry, look at the hair salon industry, look at the cosmetic industry. Those are the industries that typically never take dips. Even during the worst economic times besides this COVID thing. And the only reason they took a dip was because they were forced to close. But I can't tell you how many estheticians, nail salon people, hairdressers, etc., that did it under the table and were going to girls' houses because they could not stand to not have their hair done and their nails done even during a quarantine. So that right there goes to show that women literally feed off male attention to validate their own existence, which is why men should never do that. Because if you do that, you're going to take an L every single time.
Mm-hmm. Nah, for sure. It's like, hey, I'm not going to give you the sweet talk over the phone. I'm going to give you the sweet talk when we meet, because God knows I need to know how you look and how you react when I'm saying to these things to you. If I just keep complimenting you all night on text, it's going to be like, okay, well, what's the motivation for me to come over at this point unless you want to get my dick?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure.
So you have to be, you know, that's why I kind of like guys. It's just like with guys, you're just like, hey, I want this. We're good. Cool. We go. We do our thing. You know what I'm saying? But with girls, you have to play this like texting game, and you got to wait, and then you got to be left on scene for a bit, and you got to freak out. And I just don't have time for that, man. I'm just like, hey, you want to hang out? All right. You left me a recall. Whatever. Move on my merry way. I got other things I could be doing. don't get tunnel vision on one girl, guys. Like, you could, you know, find other people. Cause it breaks my heart when I hear people say like, oh, I had a girl I had a crush on in high school. She was dating like four of the guys, but I thought maybe by like the fifth guy, I would be the one. I'm like, dude, what the fuck? Why? And you're friends with this chick? Like, move on, like find someone else. There's a girl right there who's probably wet as hell thinking about you right now, but because you're so narrow-minded into thinking that one girl is for you, you're fucked. Then guess what? What if like years later have passed and you realize like, oh, she doesn't want me. Where do I go now? I wasted all my time for this.
Yeah, guys that sit there and you know, try to be the knight in shining armor or waiting for these girls, quite frankly, you're a fucking idiot. A girl that friend zones you does not respect you. You understand? Like, the thing is that men don't understand is that if a girl has to respect you to some degree to have sex with you, okay? So if... And here's the thing. I don't believe men and women could be platonic friends. And let's keep it real. When guys do say, oh, I'm friends with a girl, they're friends with her typically with ulterior motives. They want to get laid and they're just too scared to make the move, or they've been rejected and they sit there and keep giving her free attention. You leave, okay? You don't sit there and let a woman put you in the friend zone and you just sit there and, you know, be her fucking tampon, all right? Her emotional tampon, where she's going to complain to you about her problems with other guys that actually are having sex with her.
Or at least put in the perspective of the guy, though, if you are friend zone and you're thinking in the ulterior motive is that you want to have sex, you have to end that relationship. I'm sorry, because here's how I've always interpret the friend zone. The friend zone, if you want to be completely fair, I want to say that the friend zone is two people that want two different types of relationships. The problem is that the guy was always taught that, like, oh, be a friend of her first and then later she'll become your girlfriend. But the problem is that guys will still think that, like, well, I'm still her friend, so there's still that next level that I could get. But unfortunately, that girl put that block years ago, my guy. She doesn't want to be your girlfriend. She just wants to be your fucking friend. If you want to get bitter about it and say that, like, oh, but I was your friend. That's why you get all these guys that, like, when a girl will post on Reddit or something saying that, like, I've been friends with this guy for years and then he asked me to sleep with him and he said no. Now he says all this crap. Years of a friendship down the drain. True, very true. But this guy wasn't looking at a friendship. He was playing the stupid long game and then realized that his investments didn't pay out as he wanted.
Yeah, like, you know, and here's the thing with a lot of these clowns, what they'll do, they'll sit there and they'll let her just get run through. And then when she's done, right, like having her front fill of bad boys and all these guys that just used and abused her, whatever it may be, they wouldn't commit to her. Then she keeps your dumbass around. And after she can no longer attract those guys, typically when she gets older, or she's had a few kids, whatever it may be, then she's going to come in and these clowns think, oh, my God. She's coming after me. I knew it would pay off. And no, it doesn't pay off because you're not getting her best. You understand?
You're getting, like, her plan B, my dude.
Yeah, man. And the thing is that you can never be a woman's plan B, because by the time if you're the plan B, you weren't her first choice. And guess what? When you're not her first choice, there's going to be problems in that relationship inherently. This is where guys end up where they get married to girls that end up divorcing them, treating them like shit during the relationship. All this shit, because a lot of the times when women marry a guy, it's a consolidation because they couldn't get the guy they really wanted. And they end up marrying your dumbass, because I always say it, a lot of girls don't want to be wives. They just want to get married. Okay. They want the white dress. That's they want true. To walk down the aisle. They want to pay the $50,000 and get the marriage, we could do a whole podcast on that. Why men can't get married in today's age. But
no, and we live in Florida, my man. You know that shit, the divorce courts, my God, man, this shit is a goddamn business. It is.
Yeah, like, you're gonna take it now.
Like, you are fucked. How many? Like, I remember reading this on like some Dave Ramsey episode. I don't know if you know about Dave Ramsey. There was a guy who was talking about, like, oh, my wife wants to get married in Miami, and she wants to move there, but she also says that she doesn't like budgeting and she doesn't like that. Then my guy, then that's not the girl to marry. If she's not going to budget with you, but she wants to pay to go to Miami, where it's like, I forgot the term, but basically, like, if you get divorced in Miami, most of the money goes straight to the woman, because that's like, I forgot the terminology, but like, the divorce courts here in Florida are ridiculous.
And here's the other thing, for any idiot out there that thinks they want to get married, you guys got to understand, Florida and Texas are some of the worst states to get married in. And the other thing too is that there's no incentive for her to make it work. That's just the reality. And the only way I would even, because there's a documentary called Divorce Inc., I think it is. And there's an industry out there, a multi-billion-dollar industry out there dependent upon you failing. And let's face it, marriage, divorce rates are around 60%+, and that doesn't account for the divorces where they're just separated, but they haven't filed the paperwork. There's a bunch of divorces where they might still live together, and you know they're doing it for the kids or whatever, but they're pretty much still single. Like that's not accounting for all that stuff. So that's 60% just documented. Then on top of that, 80% of divorces are initiated by women. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And at this point, in getting married in the West, any Western country, it's an L, because the problem is that the divorce laws in most of these countries have not caught up to feminism. Women are outearn men in a lot of these cases. Women are doing very well financially, but these divorce laws were constructed at a time when men were the breadwinners, and they were designed to protect the woman. So if the guy divorced her, that she would still be able to get some money because she had not entered the job market, or she wasn't a skilled laborer or whatever it may be. But those times have changed. You know, women are doing great now financially. So, but the divorce laws have not caught up.
I think the conversation, if my memory was right, I think they talk about this with another YouTuber when they describe how he did the divorce proceedings. He brought up the fact that when a woman divorces a man, they ask her like, okay, how much money do you need to sustain? And that's the thing, though. Why do you think girls will marry like older guys or guys that they could just easily divorce as quick as possible? Because they're rich. Because they were rich when they're married, but they want to still be rich when they're not married anymore. So they could just simply say, well, I can't sustain the house that my husband bought me and paid for this mortgage, so I need him to pay for the mortgage. I need him to pay for the kids. I need him to pay for everything in the house, because that's the lifestyle that I've accustomed to, and I can't leave that life. Like, but anybody would be like, well, just sell the house, live in a one bedroom apartment. You're just one person. But to the woman, they'll just say like, well, this is the life I've gotten used to, so I need to keep this lifestyle.
Yeah, no. And that's the thing. Like, if you, and that's why, you know, if guys are going to go into the slaughterhouse, that is the marriage world, You need to make sure that your wife makes as much, if not more, money than you, right? So she has something to lose. And you need to make sure that you're doing it with the intention of having children. There's really no point to get married. There's really no point to get married unless you want to have children, because obviously we all know that children, you know, it takes a tribe to raise a child, and you're going to need both parents there for sure. So that's the only two ways I would say that, you know, two like prerequisites that are required to get married in 2020 in the West is your wife's got to bring something to the table as well. And I know a few guys that, like, you know, their wives were successful. You know, I know one guy, he's a PA, his wife was a PA. So when they were able to split up, it was a little bit more amicable. She didn't take his money, etc. But if you marry a girl, like, let's say you're an entrepreneur, you're bringing in a $500,000 a year, and you marry a fucking hairdresser that's bringing in 50 grand a year, you're cruising for a bruising, dude, you know, because her standard of life is not going to go down because you divorced her. So she's going to be entitled to a lot of your money. And unfortunately, most states in the United States are designed to absolutely destroy the man's life after post-divorce. And the thing is, too, guys, is there's a reason why men are way more likely to kill themselves after divorce. It literally it's destroys so sad, men. Man. It destroys
I, you know what
men.
I think the worst is? It's the children. I don't know if you've ever seen, like, actual live divorce proceedings. But, man, when you see, like, two really bitter people argue in divorce courts, who keeps the kid? It's not even that they care it's a kid anymore. They just care he's a free paycheck, he's free support. And it's so fucked up, the manipulation that two parents use on their children to get on either side on a court system. It's so disgusting and sad. And you know, it's a fucked up situation for those kids, man. And you know, there's like, why so many guys that, like, why is it that men have the leading amount of suicide after divorce? Because they're the one who get the shit end of the deal. May not see their kids. They might lose their house. They might lose their finances. They might lose everything. Hell, if you go back in the 40s, you could lose your job.
Yeah, no, it's a terrible time to get married as a guy. You know, And it's amazing how many entrepreneurs that are business savvy.
It's a very bad deal. You, me, and like a lot of people are agreeing that like marriage in general is just a very outdated concept, because it made sense. Oh, we're all going to die by the time we're 40 in the 1800s or six or the 1700s. Let's just go ahead and be married to one person.
Then,
but by the way,
back
we're going to have
designed.
Like,
no, all I was going to say was back then it was designed to like combine families so you can combine resources and become a bigger unit to combine financial resources.
I'm the king of this kingdom and you're the king of this kingdom. Let's get our children wed so then later we can make an alliance.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. Absolutely. But holy crap, did we go over time? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say. So you want to go ahead and wrap up?
Yeah, sure.
So let's go ahead and say, Myron,
we could do a full, we could do a full another episode too, like on the dating market and marriage and all that, because I know guys are probably going to want to.
Oh yeah, for sure. I want to keep having reoccurring guests. I'm actually glad you're here because you're completely a different X factor of my usual lineup of guests. I kind of want to.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about fitness. That's my real thing, guys.
No, honestly though, man, I had a whole list of topics I wanted to talk about. I generally go like a list with the last guy, but you know, we started with the gym. Then I was going to say like, okay, introduce yourself, but then you talked about your thing. So like, okay, I'm just like taking bullet points of what I was originally going to say, but. Let's just go ahead and leave that for another episode. Maybe not right after this one, but maybe sometime down the line, we'll have reoccurring guests like you, and we could go into deeper and maybe spend more time into talking about it, because it's a very fascinating thing. And more of anything, I just like to show a dialogue or have a conversation piece about it. Absolutely. But I know you got to go, so let's go ahead and wrap. How can we reach you, Myron, for my guests in the show or my listeners?
Yeah, so my Instagram is UnplugFit. My Twitter, Facebook, all of it is at UnplugFit. One word, UnplugFit. My website is UnplugFit.com. And my YouTube is Unplugged Fitness. I've been going really hard with that. I'm posting about 3 videos per week. I think I'm going to start having a weekly podcast with a lot of guys in the manosphere, fitness guys, you know, and we're thinking about doing this thing weekly. And yeah, man, it's basically a lot of content on there, fitness and dating related stuff. Where we basically give you a no BS approach to, you know, how to deal with women, how to get in shape, all scientifically backed. And yeah, man, that's how we roll.
All right, perfect, man. Well, thank you so much. I want to go ahead and thank to our listeners today. Thank you so much for listening to our second episode of the Pepper Podcast. I wish you all a great day. Myron, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, brother.
Have a good one, my friend, and hope to see you soon, okay?
Absolutely. We got a lot to talk about.
All right. Goodbye, everyone.